Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, what are evangelical Christians to think about Trump's peace plan? What does the Bible have to say about it? Do you know the Bible talks about Trump's peace plan in regards to what he's doing? Also this, you notice that we have an increase of wars, the rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, and apostasy. Wow, all of those things mentioned in the Bible as sign of the end times. And now add to it a peace plan that simply needs to be confirmed. Is the stage being set for the end times? My guest, Dr. Andy Woods. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brandon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brennan brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brennan House.
Welcome, my friends, to the program. Glad you are with us. Joining me in studio tonight is Dr. Andy Woods. He is one of our favorite Bible teachers and commentators as well. He has a law degree. He's a lawyer, as we say down here in the South. And he's also a pastor and the head of a seminary. And his PhD, it's the real McCoy. It's the real deal. No honorary here. No fake thing here. Dr. Andy Woods, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you for that nice introduction.
You bet. I feel like Andy Rooney sitting next to you. Man, he's a big guy. Freakishly tall. It must have been really hard to go through school like that.
Well, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages. I won't go into all that, I guess.
I know. All right, let's talk about this. Well, I tell you what, I was saying to my family the other night, I said, I turned on the Drudge Report the other night, and there was an article about locusts in Africa, one of the biggest locust outbreaks ever, and a picture of all these locusts in Africa. Then the other day, he had a picture of a palm paying for something, paying for items with your handprint. Then we have the coronavirus that breaks out. Now we have the threat of war with Iran. More rockets, by the way, not too long ago, went into Iraq and harmed some of our soldiers. There's constant talk of war and possible World War III. And now we have apostasy in the land big time. Major evangelical leaders that you thought you could trust, turns out you can't, inviting social justice warriors right onto their church platform, telling them, you're my friend, I don't want to be an island, I'm not going to criticize you. And yet then the same Bible teachers turn around and share the platform with some of the biggest false teachers in America, as well as those pushing white privilege, social justice, critical race theory, and so much. And you thought, you know, this can't be. If someone had told you back in the 80s and 90s these guys would be doing this, you'd say that's crazy. They would never do that. Right. Yet apostasy has become, I mean, and by the way, let's define apostasy, a falling away from traditionally held biblical truths. And if you had been told in the 80s and 90s some of these guys would fall away and share the platform over and over with guys and gals that are denying traditional biblical truth, you would say they would never do that. But apostasy has become so common, even some of your most favorite Bible teachers now regularly share the platform with known false teachers and those pushing social justice, which is socialism. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about plagues, pestilence, wars, the rumors of wars. We're talking about technology for a cashless society and paying with your hand. No one can buy or sell unless they have the mark, which would be on their right hand, correct? And we're talking now also about a peace deal, a two-state solution. Someone now needs to show up and confirm a peace treaty. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, apostasy, and a peace treaty. Now, this is just all that's been in the news in the last few days. Sometimes I see it on the Drudge Report, all those stories in one day, minus the apostasy story, although you can find the apostasy in some of the things he's writing about in regards to some of the well-known evangelical leaders that occasionally get posted on Drudge. So I was saying to my family members, you can just read the mainstream secular press and realize we are in a major situation where we're in the last days. We're approaching the last days, and certainly this peace treaty seems to be part of it and setting the stage for it. And yet, well-known prophecy ministries are promoting it. Well-known prophecy ministries and leaders think this new Trump proposal is a good thing. Well, let's talk about the good things that are in it, but let's also talk about the bad things that are in it, and let's see if this is something we should be in favor of or not. Fair enough?
The word that comes to my mind, you know, when, as you're articulating all of those things, is the word convergence.
Yes.
In other words, there's not a sign here, a sign there, in isolation of each other. These things, whether it's diseases, the peace treaty, the imprint on your hand, these are all coming together simultaneously.
Yes, they are.
And in concert and in harmony with each other. And basically what that tells us is the tribulation period is coming upon us very, very quickly. And that's nothing to lose hope over in despair, because the rapture, which precedes the tribulation period, is coming that much faster.
Indeed it
and
is.
I think that's the way to kind of think through all these things.
Did you ever think in the 80s and 90s you see so many people that we had come to trust apostatizing or falling away from traditional held biblical truths, or promoting those that are and sharing the platform with them, endorsing their books, mm-hmm. I mean, inviting them to their conference? Did you ever think we'd see this?
I personally never did. And one of the things that's very disturbing is these sort of alliances that these groups are forming with each other. And they're not paying a lot of attention to 2 John verses 9 through 11, which specifically tells evangelicals, be careful who you partner with. And you get the idea that the only thing they're really interested in is subscriptions to their YouTube channel, likes on their Facebook page, number of Twitter followers that they have, size of their churches. And it's almost like
book sales
are just prostituting themselves.
Wait a minute, say it again, they're what?
Prostituting themselves.
Well, that's interesting, because doesn't the Bible speak of a false harlot church?
Yeah, and Jesus tells us in a number of places that when the church moves away from the truth, she becomes an adulterer. Mm-hmm. In fact, you'll find that, I said Jesus, but James chapter 4, verse 4 makes that very point.
And by the way, I have feet of clay. I'm not perfect. Sure. I'm still going through that sanctification process, ongoing faithfulness and obedience. I mean, he knows me. He knows me well. He could tell you I'm not perfect. I'm not afraid to admit that. I make mistakes. I have areas that I need to conform in sanctification. But how hard is it? How hard is it not to go on and sit on the TV channel of TBN with some of these big false teachers? How hard is it not to share the platform with social justice warriors? How hard is it not to go to conferences with people that are pushing critical race theory, which is socialism or Marxism? I mean, how hard is it to not just simply avoid those people that you've actually spoken out against the ideologies they promote, have actually told people don't share the platform with them, and then turn around and do it? I mean, we're not calling for perfection. We're just simply saying, how hard is it to not promote the things that you claim we should be promoting?
Well, this isn't a case where people are just struggling with sin privately. This is a case where they're teachers. And the book of James chapter 3, verse 1 is very clear. Let few of you presume to be teachers, knowing that the teacher will incur the stricter judgment. And when you show up at a conference with somebody who's espousing the very things that you're supposedly against, that's a tacit endorsement.
And you keep doing it, even though you've been warned, and you know you've been warned because you've been emailed and people have called you out, written articles about it, and done TV shows. It's not like you're not aware of who these people are, but you keep doing it year in and year out.
Sure.
It's kind of like basically what comes out of your mouth you don't really believe. I've said that to my wife for several years. I said, a lot of these guys that we think are the big Bible teachers, they don't believe half of what they say.
Yeah.
Because if they really did, they wouldn't be doing the stuff that they do at these conferences and with who they're doing it.
Well, you get the impression that they've got their market niched out there, and they're just doing whatever they have to do to keep that market happy and to venture out into other areas.
And then expand their market.
And you get the idea, expand. You get the idea that they're making decisions from sort of an MBA mindset rather than a biblical mindset.
Yeah.
And that's modern day Christianity, at least in the United States. God help us.
Yeah. And I'm not sitting here, again, folks, I want to make it very clear, we're not calling for people to be perfect. We're not perfect. We're just simply saying, how hard is it not to have a set of convictions and standards and say, hey, we don't produce their shows. We won't go on their shows. We won't share a platform with them. We won't promote them. We won't endorse their books. I mean, it'd be like us sitting here talking about these things, and the next thing you know, we've got a Jew hater on our network. You know, we've got a guy thinking we should set up the kingdom of God and do social justice on our network.
Right.
People would say, well, how hard is it for House to pick broadcasters over there that actually all espouse the same thing?
And that false teaching is what he's known for.
Exactly. You know? All right, so let's pick it up with this Trump peace plan. Now, I don't want to get in trouble with a lot of people, because I know as soon as you don't agree with President Trump, people get angry. I've been very supportive of many of his policies. I've probably been one of his biggest supporters on Christian radio as far as saying, look, he's moved the American embassy to Israel. He has defunded United Nations Education Scientific Cultural Organization, UNESCO. He's helped to defund Planned Parenthood in part. He has told the world court to go pound sand. I'm for border security. I'm for the wall. I'm for a national identity. I'm against globalism. I appreciate the fact he is the first and only president to speak in person at the March for Life rally. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things I could keep saying that I appreciate that he has done. I don't have to endorse everything he's ever done, everything he will ever do, to agree with a lot of policies that he has put into place. So there's not a whole lot of areas where I have said, hey, wait a minute, I'm not so sure about this. This is one of them. But folks, let's not get upset with us because we simply disagree with him on this. This is one of the areas where, after listening to you talk about it on your program, I said, mm-hmm. we've got to have you, when you're in town, talk about this, mm-hmm. because there are major Bible prophecy leaders around this country in America and around the world that are thinking this is just the most wonderful thing in the world. But if you go to the Bible, I don't think we as Christians can be all that excited about mm-hmm. Trump's peace plan.
Well, I like to come back to the statement from Martin Luther King Jr. I recognize he had his issues.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But this statement is a good one.
Yeah.
He says this: the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. And I don't think you view your role, and I know I don't view my role, as being a clapping seal
right.
for any administration.
Right.
I think our role is to be their conscience, and if we become their cheerleader rather than their conscience, we're giving up the high position that God has given us.
Right.
And so I think it's completely okay to look at many of the wonderful things that the Trump administration has done. In fact, many of the wonderful things in this peace plan, such as an undivided Jerusalem, such as no settlement relocation for the Jews in Judea and Samaria, and we could say this is good stuff. But the problem is you've got to keep reading the so-called peace plan. And even if you don't read the peace plan, I would encourage people to download it. It's only 181 pages, which is not an infinite amount of reading. You can do that in 30 seconds, download it into your Kindle. I did that. You'll find some interesting things in there. But you'll see some things like this, and these are even some statements that Donald Trump himself made about wanting a Palestinian state, wanting a two-state solution, talking about an opportunity to achieve an independent state of their own, talking about territory allocated to the Palestinians remaining open and undeveloped for a period of years, talking about a realistic two-state solution. And the bottom line to the whole thing is what is happening is Trump is not the first person to try this. I mean, you can go back to Jimmy Carter. Even before that, you can go back to the two Bush administrations, the Clinton administration. You can go to the Obama administration. And they've all been sort of captured by this idea that Israel stole land in 1948. Even though when Mark Twain went there in 1867 and wrote about it in his book called Innocents Abroad, he saw nothing there but open desert terrain. But the narrative is Israel stole the land, and so the Palestinians have to be awarded with this separate state within Israel's territory. And really what it is a propaganda piece.
Absolutely.
Yasser Arafat figured out that he could not beat the Jews militarily because they got shellacked in 1948, 1967, 1973. So he started getting schooling from the Soviets mm-hmm. in the art of propaganda, and they said, what you got to do is you've got to create a narrative which will give you a state within the borders of Israel, and then you can use that as a beachhead for your ultimate goal, which is not coexistence with Israel. It's eradication of Israel.
Because all their maps have no Israel existing right. at all. So we know what they want. Now, if Yasser Arafat, he was from Egypt, right?
He wasn't even Palestinian because there's no such thing as a Palestinian. He was Egyptian.
And that's proven by history and DNA.
That's right.
And the reason it's called Palestine, if you're a new person, is because back during the time of Rome, the emperor, his name started with an H.
Hadrian.
Hadrian.
Second century.
He says, let's insult the Jews by calling it the name of their enemy, the Philistines. So he called it Palestine. So he's really calling it after the Philistines. The Philistines and the Palestinians are not the same thing. Even the DNA proves this. We've covered this in other programs. Mm-hmm. So there is no Palestine. The whole name Palestine came because the Roman emperor named it Palestine as an insult to the Jews, and the Philistines hadn't been around for 600 years.
In fact, can I read this quote?
Please.
This is from a book by Richard Booker, Christians, Jews, and Israel, page 81. Let me just read this real fast. He asks, please tell me, when in history was there ever a people called the Palestinians? Who were they and when did they rule? What and who did they rule over? Mm-hmm. What was the name of their country and what was the capital of their country? What were their boundaries of their country? Who were their presidents and prime ministers? What language did they speak? What literature did they leave behind? What was their currency? What historical records do we have of a Palestinian civilization? Where is the archaeological evidence or any other information that we might have about a historical Palestinian people? The truth is there has never been a distinct people called Palestinians. There has never been a sovereign land called Palestine. Jerusalem has never in history been the capital of any Arab or Palestinian state, and there is no Palestinian language or culture because there is no Palestinian people. It is a myth created after the Jews liberated Jerusalem in 1967, close quote. It's part of a Soviet Arafat propaganda campaign.
Information operation, propaganda war.
To create not just a two-state solution, but the final solution.
And as a result, people have been brainwashed with this information.
In fact, of all the massive lies that people believe, other than evolution, you know, from the goo to
this
the
would
zoo
be the second one.
to you over billions of years and the missing link, everybody believes that, sadly. Mm-hmm. This would be the second biggest lie and myth I can think of. And yet it's necessary for them to get a beachhead in Israel's territory to complete their job of the conquest of Jerusalem, which is what Islam calls for.
Yes, exactly, which is why we have the Quds Force.
Yes.
The Iranian Quds Force that Somali was a part of.
Yes.
Until he got drone-striked by President Trump. The Quds Force, which means Jerusalem. So the whole thing is about conquering and taking Jerusalem because that is a Muslim goal, even though Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible how many times?
I think about 800 times.
How many times is it mentioned in the Quran?
Zero.
Is zero.
Now, sadly, in this Trump plan, it quotes the Quran, and it quotes, it's on page 15 if people care to read it, it quotes the Quran, and it quotes the section of the Quran which the Muslims think makes Jerusalem their third holiest site. But as you mentioned, the word Jerusalem is not found in that excerpt. So the peace plan itself is sort of buying into the narrative. That's our problem with it.
Absolutely.
And it's putting Islamic claims and the claims of Judaism to the temple on the same footing.
And again, the issue is that Islam teaches that once the Muslims have occupied an area, if they lose control of it, they need to go get it back.
That's right.
Now, one of the...
And it's also where Muhammad allegedly ascended back to Allah on a steed.
What was that called? Oh, Barack. Barack, right?
Steed's name is Barack. We can't make this stuff
up. Yeah, Barack Hussein Obama.
So
1967.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, Israel stole the land. You know, don't forget about the Balfour Declaration that set up the fact that they have a right to the land historically. Their history backs it up. Their DNA backs it up. The Bible backs it up. And a bunch of nations came together with the beginning of the Balfour Declaration that led to one more agreement, another agreement, the San Remo Conference.
Right.
So all this stuff in the 1920s forward led to then a collection of nations declaring internationally, way back then that this is the land of the Jews. And of course, they went on to declare also that because the Jews had been so persecuted, they had a right to the land. Now, all that was before the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Of course, the Holocaust only sped it up. Then led to the nations of the world recognizing them as a nation in May of 1948. But the point is, people don't realize that going back to the 1920s, a group of nations came together and said, yeah, that's the land of the Jewish people.
I hope people will get this book. It's by Joan Peters. It's called From Time Immemorial. And she went over there as an intellectually honest liberal, thinking that there was this Palestinian claim to the land. And she started researching it. And she saw there was no evidence for it, that it was a propaganda piece. And so she switched her view and wrote this tremendous book, From Time Immemorial, Joan Peters. And it clearly documents Israeli ownership of that land legally. And let me give you another name, if I could. His name is Jacques-Paul Gaultier, a Canadian lawyer. We've had him as a speaker, by the way, at our pre-trib conference a few years ago. And he is a Canadian lawyer, and he completed a dissertation on international politics at the University of Geneva, and he spent 20 years dealing with this subject, footnoting everything meticulously because he had hostile readers, and he had to make sure he had all his ducks in a row. And what he has produced as a result of this process is a magnificent piece of scholarship in his dissertation, and here's his conclusion as a Canadian lawyer submitting his dissertation at the University of Geneva for a PhD wow. in international politics. His conclusion is, you can say whatever you want about Israel. You can disagree with them politically, you can disagree with them on policy grounds, but here's what you cannot say. You cannot say that Israel is illegally doing anything. And most people don't know this because they keep hearing the phrase mm-hmm. occupied territory so frequently. They think, oh my goodness, Israel must be doing something illegally. But the Peters work and the Gutierrez work both demonstrate that you might disagree with Israel on a lot of things, but you can't say that she is doing anything illegally. In fact, the Jews were there buying that land way back when at hyperinflated prices. And so the point of the matter is the international community has no legal basis to put Israel under any pressure the way this Trump peace plan does.
To divide Israel.
To give away a square inch.
Right.
Israel does not have to give away a square inch, and yet that's what she's being pressured to do.
Yep. And in fact, for people who think they're occupiers or they stole the land, let's also remember that in 1967, Israel was fighting Egypt, and Egypt and Israel were at war, and in comes fighting from the Jordanians. Mm-hmm. And the Jordanians start shooting at Israel, and Israel tells the Jordanians, knock it off. We're dealing with Egypt. We don't want to open up another front with you. Stop it. And they gave them plenty of warning. Stop. We don't mm-hmm. want to go to war with you. We don't want to open up a front with you. We're dealing with the Egyptians. And the Jordanians didn't quit. And so Israel, to defend themselves, had to take them on while they're also taking on the Egyptians.
Yes.
And they win both wars. They beat the Egyptians and they beat the Jordanians. And that's why Jordan ended up losing the Temple Mount, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also
100% correct, right?
Yes.
And so people think that they stole the land or whatever. They don't realize that the whole reason they got the Temple Mount was because the Jordanians started a war with them, which they told them, we don't want to go to war with you.
A war of self-defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember is Arafat, the leader of the PLO at the time, was not even a Palestinian. He was an Egyptian.
Okay, so why doesn't he go get his Palestinian state in Egypt?
Well, because that's not the propaganda
exactly.
information that he got from the Soviets. What he learned is we can't beat these people militarily, so we've got to do it in the court of public opinion. By the way, we see...
So at the end of the day, let me just interrupt.
Sure.
At the end of the day, it's not about a Palestinian state. At the end of the day, this is not about them looking for a homeland or a capital, because if they wanted one, look at all the Islamic nations surrounding Israel. And Israel's this little bitty sliver yeah. surrounded in a sea of Islamic nations.
Yeah.
You're telling me none of those Islamic nations would give them a place to make their capital? The whole reason they want to be in Israel is so they can be in there and then to defeat Israel
exactly
and
right.
push them out and keep pushing them out and pushing them out. When they say they want peace, they don't want P-E-A-C-E.
That's right.
They've said that. We have right. Hamas documents and all kinds of documents. We did a whole series on Hamas in America. It's in the Situation Room now at situationroom.net. I mean, we have over 1,000 TV shows and growing just like this. Over 1,000
mm-hmm.
at situationroom.net. And you can join us for as little as $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Let me just add, if you join right now, and here it is, tonight is February 2nd. The Super Bowl's going
Super
on.
Bowl.
And we're up here. This is how spiritual we are.
That's right.
We're in the TV studio when you guys are all watching the Super Bowl. But here we are, February 2nd, 2020. And if you will join the Situation Room at the 1 year, the two, I can't offer it for the monthly rate, but if you do it at the 1 year, the 2 year, or the 3 year rate, at wvwtv.com/subscription, wvwtv.com/subscription. If you join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate, I will send you my book, Marxianity, and my 6 hour documentary, Sabotage. I'll send those to you for free. For saying thank you for joining the Situation Room to support the continuation of programming like mm-hmm. this and shows like this one that he's on, as mm-hmm. well as his own show that yeah. he starts filming for the next 2 days here. He's going to be doing a whole series on the heresy of the neo-Calvinist theology. theology that you guys have been demanding. Now, if you appreciate this, one way you can support us is by joining our on-demand subscription at wvwtv.com/subscription. And again, I'll send you, if you join at the 1 year, 2 year, 3 year rate, I'll send you free of charge in the mail my book, Marxianity, and my 6 hour, 3 DVD set, docu-movie, Sabotage, which gets into the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, all these other things. So, again, hope you'll do that. But in the Situation Room...
And he hasn't prompted me to say this at all, but let me just say this. Where else are you going to go to get this kind of information that's from a conservative viewpoint and also is biblically oriented and also is as pro-Israel as the information that you're communicating? Can you think of another single news outlet that has all three of those things going for it?
No, absolutely not. And I appreciate your saying that. We tried to buy 15-second spots on Fox News. 15-second spot that just simply said, siege. The clear and present danger is pushing America to the brink of a Marxist Islamic revolution, civil war, World War III, and globalism. SiegeTheMovie.com. Go to SiegeTheMovie.com to watch 1 hour for free. That's all it said in 15 seconds. Fox News didn't say no. They said that's a hard no, is what they said back.
Wow.
Not only that, this is going to shock people. One News, what's that conservative channel everybody watches?
One News.
One America News or whatever?
Yeah.
They said no.
Wow.
They proved it. They had us wire them the money. And then the day before we're supposed to run, they said, we've decided we can't run that. And they wired our money back.
Do they have enough courage to tell you what the problem was?
No. None of them.
Just cut you off.
None of them. Yeah. But one of them, One America News, actually took our money. We have the contract. We have the email. Oh, your spot's been approved. Wire the money. We wired the money. They're supposed to start running the spot so we could get out the word about our new docu-movie, Siege, 8.5 hours. And after they took our money, they turned around and emailed back and said, no, our owner doesn't want to do that. Yeah. Our management doesn't want to do that. And they wired our money back, and that's fine. But the point is this. I mean, it's their network. They can do what they want.
Sure.
So I'm not criticizing them in the sense that they didn't run it. That's
but
their network.
They're
they
afraid, can do what they want. They're afraid of certain issues.
Well, it seems to be there's a lot of groups afraid of a lot of issues.
And here's the bottom.
And this, we are one of the only networks left doing this.
Well, here's the bottom line, folks. We're in a war.
Absolutely.
It's a war of ideas.
It's a propaganda war.
And when you're in a war of ideas, you need weapons. And unless we get behind networks like this one, WVW, we're not going to have the resources necessary for the intellectual and spiritual propaganda combat that we're in. And we're dealing with a big part of that right here with this whole two-state solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your saying that because we do need to grow. I mean, two of these cameras out here are 12 years old. That camera right there is brand new. That's a $4,000 camera. We need to replace some of these other cameras. How do we do that? In part because people join our subscription network at wvwtv.com/subscription. So again, if you join, appreciate your kind words. If you join, I'll at the 1 year, 2 year, 3 year rate, I'll send you the book Marxianity and my documentary Siege for free.
I really wasn't trying to be kind.
Well,
I don't mind being kind, but I think I'm just being honest.
Well, I appreciate that. What led me on to the Situation Room was to say that it is now probably maybe rolled into the Situation Room, but we did a whole show on Hamas in America, and we have the quotes by Hamas and all these guys
that
were stating that they have no intentions of working out a peace deal with Israel. They have no intentions of befriending Israel. Their whole goal is the elimination of the state of Israel.
That's right.
So when you hear them talk about, they just want a home, they want a capital, and most people say, those poor people, they need a home, they need a capital. It's not about them having a home or a capital, because look at all the Muslim nations surrounding Israel, this little sliver, as I said. Why can't they go have their state and their nation state and capital in Egypt or Jordan or somewhere else?
Well, if we want to talk about
it's how... It's all about a propaganda war to get in there, get on the ground, and then force out the Jews.
Yeah, and if you want to know how well a two-state solution works, I just have one word for folks. It's Gaza, which you'll find in the southwest corner of the map, the little sliver there on the Mediterranean. That was given to the so-called Palestinians in 2005. They had one and only one election. They voted in Hamas. By the way, they destroyed all of the botanical gardens and all the
infrastructure
that the Jews had created there.
Yes, the schools.
And that's the little sliver that the rockets come in from and that the tunnels of terror come into Israel. And, you know, they kidnap kids, Jewish kids coming home from school, etc. So if the two-state solution didn't work with Gaza, why in the world would we think it would work with the so-called a larger area West Bank, Judea, and Samaria.
Absolutely.
And one other thing, let me throw this in. The Palestine Liberation Organization was founded, folks, in 1964. And you say, what's the significance of that? What the PLO says is just give us back the so-called West Bank and we'll be happy. The problem is the Jews, Israel, got the West Bank in 1967. The PLO was founded in 1964. What were they trying to liberate in 1964? They weren't trying to liberate Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. The founding of the PLO in 1964, 3 years before Israel got those larger territories back, it's obvious they were trying to eliminate or eradicate or liberate the whole land of Israel. So they kind of have a saying that you'll hear, and some of the extremists like Mark Lamont Hill, I think on...
From Jordan to the sea?
Yeah, from the sea, from the river to the sea. What does that mean? What river are we talking about? The Jordan? All the way to the Mediterranean Sea. It is the total eradication of the Jewish nation. That's the ultimate goal, and the two-state solution is just sort of a beachhead to accomplish that ultimate aim, as is demanded by Islamic doctrine.
Well, let's go to Joel chapter 3, because there are a lot of prophecy people out there today. And some of these same prophecy people, by the way, they were all big on Jonathan Cahn. Remember that? T.A. McMahon of the Berean Call, me, Tommy Ice, I'm trying to think of anyone else, Jimmy DeYoung. We were all united as nicely as we could. We just said, in fact, I interviewed Jonathan Cahn twice, let him come on my show, state his case, and I stated why I disagreed with him.
David James, was that?
David James was against it. So we were all united. T.A. McMahon of the Berean Call, that's Dave Hunt's ministry, Jimmy DeYoung, T.A. McMahon, myself, Tommy Ice, David James, we were all very united. I don't know if you came out publicly at that time. I didn't know you at the time. If you came out and said there were problems with Jonathan Cahn's book or not, did you?
I was a lowly seminary student at the time, so I didn't have a ministry platform. To speak from.
So we came out and disagreed.
But I was with you in spirit.
Thank you. Well, we disagree with Jonathan Cahn, and yet there are a lot of these same people that are now hailing and praising this peace plan. We're big on Jonathan Cahn. Which is funny because after he really went out there and started sharing the platform with some way out folks, now all of a sudden you don't see them even working with Jonathan Cahn anymore. So what's so interesting is they blew up relationships and were calling people, all kinds of names that weren't appropriate for the fact that we just disagree with Cahn, and they don't even work with Cahn anymore. Well, right. Some of these same people are once again showing a lack of discernment, in my opinion, and they're singing the praises. And I'm not going to name names because I'm not looking to be personal. I'm not looking to be unkind. But what I'm saying is some of these people have a track record of not having a lot of good discernment, and some of these same prophecy people are out there now talking about how great this is. And yet Joel chapter 3 answers this question for us, doesn't it?
Let's look at that. Joel chapter 3 verse 2, the key part of it is the very end of the verse, and it's talking here about why God's wrath is coming upon the world in the tribulation period. Is it going to be homosexuality that's going to bring the wrath of God in the tribulation period? Is it going to be we don't have prayer and Bible reading in the schools? I'm not marginalizing those issues. Those are important issues, but that's not what triggers the wrath of Almighty God. The context here is Armageddon, and then it says why. It says, they have divided my land. So you'll notice the land is God's. Leviticus 25:23, God says, the land is mine. And he has Genesis 15:18-21, bequeath that land to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know the prophecies that they'd go into worldwide dispersion. And Ezekiel 36, verses 24 and 25, read it for yourself. It specifically says, I will bring them back not into someone else's land, but into their land. So God, who has, the author of heavens and earth, has bequeathed that land to the nation of Israel. And Joel 3 verse 2 is commentary on those who have an ambition to divide the land. It doesn't say here, my wrath won't come as long as the person doing it is a Republican president. My wrath won't come as long as I move the embassy their direction. It just says they have divided my land, and that's what the Palestinian state, two-state solution is doing, and it's pushing America into the wrath of Almighty God himself. Of all the issues that are happening today in the world, to my mind, this is probably the most significant. Mm.
You know, before Trump was elected, I said that God could allow the election of Donald Trump and yet America still be under judgment. Mm-hmm. And I said, in fact, God could use Donald Trump to hasten the judgment of America. Mm-hmm. And what I was referring to then was the fact that God could use the Islamist of our nation and the Marxist within our nation and outside our nation to become so incensed at a president, Donald Trump, who would stand up to them, that they would actually come against us harder, and that would be part of our of God's judgment. And I said at the same time, if you go back and look at the article and listen to the show I did on radio many times, but specifically the one the day after he was elected, when he was president-elect, the day after he was elected, I spoke, can God be blessing America and judging America at the same time? And I specifically said that God could be using Donald Trump to protect the church, keep the airwaves open, protect the pulpit, give us some liberty and freedom, economic freedom, religious liberty and freedom for a period of time. But he could also be doing this to bring judgment on America, as I said, because a President Donald Trump was going to be prone to not backing down to these Marxists and Islamists. Mm-hmm. Well, what do we see? We see Iran and tensions with Iran. We see China and Russia and Iran having military exercises together. Those people are making a harder and harder alliance. And what are who are they talking about as their common enemy? Israel and America. Israel and America, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe indeed God has been using Donald Trump to give protection to conservatives and Christians, but at the same time to draw out our enemies to bring judgment. Now, listen to me, now I'm concerned that what Donald Trump might be doing with his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, might be also helping to bring about God's judgment in the context of Joel chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Because what it says in Joel chapter 3 is, starting at verse 2, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there. So he's going to bring judgment, not blessing. Mm-hmm. And he'll do it on behalf of my people. My inheritance, Israel. So he's judging them on how they've treated Israel. That's who right. is the they? The Gentile nations.
That's right.
He's judging the Gentile nations on how they've treated Israel, and specifically whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. Now, what's very interesting is whom they have scattered among the nations. The Bible speaks over and over that God scattered the Jews, that he scattered them in judgment, right? Mm-hmm. But what does God use oftentimes to accomplish his prophetic purpose? He uses the sinful actions of man, right?
The Romans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians.
So God uses the sinful actions of man to accomplish his purpose.
Right.
So we see in the scripture that God scattered them as judgment. God scattered them. Then God will bring them back together. But what do we see? God using sinful nations to scatter the Jews. Then we see God using the same sinful nations, using sinful nations, and even unbelievers to do what? Bring the Jews back into the land.
That's right.
Hitler, God doesn't approve of that. But out of Hitler's sin and those nations that went along with him, what did it end up creating in 48? The Jewish state. Mm-hmm. So the text seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the pastor, I'm just a talk show host. Mm-hmm. But a simple reading from a simple guy like me says that he's judging them. It's judgment, he says that. That it's judging the nations, these would be Gentile nations, and he's judging them because they scattered the nations. He's judging them on behalf of Israel. And then he says, why is he also judging them? Because they scattered them among the nations, and they have divided up my land. So the Gentiles helped divide up the land. Mm-hmm. So if this is one of the things that Gentile nations are judged by God for, we don't want to be a part of that. We can't celebrate that which God says is wrong and he'll judge.
Right.
So here's an example where if Donald Trump isn't very careful, his actions with his son-in-law could be setting up America for God's judgment for helping divide the land. Mm-hmm. True or false?
It's all true. And, you know, what people need to understand is the way to think as a Christian is not through what we call pragmatism, meaning does it work? Because there's a lot of things in this plan that sound very practical. You know, we're just doing it with East Jerusalem. There's a fella out running around saying, you know, it's just East Jerusalem and not West Jerusalem. And,
oh, wait a minute. I see that in here.
Yeah,
don't divide up my land, but you can do that with a little bit of East Jerusalem.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't say that.
And then they say things like, well, he's just handing over territory where the Arabs are already living in. By the way, can you show me any example anywhere in the Bible where Israel enters into a treaty with the inhabitants of the land and it ever works out well for them?
No.
I mean, isn't that the whole problem in the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, all the way through during the 800 years prior to the Babylonian deportation? So the reality of the situation is, the way to think about this is, you can't think about it from pragmatic terms. You've got to think of it from a divine revelation perspective. And the more committed you get to the biblical text, the more you see that this is a bad plan. Doesn't matter if it's coming from someone that 80% of evangelical Christians voted for. It doesn't matter if he moved the embassy. It doesn't matter if he's done a lot of great things for Israel, which we all admit he has.
Yes.
Any division of the land is against the will of God and brings God's wrath and God's judgment. Don't think of this. It's like dealing with people that say, well, you know, the psychologists all say that committing adultery, you know, that could be good for your marriage. So they create all of these studies and cite all of these statistics that indicate that that may be true. Well, how do you think about something like that? You reject it because it's a pragmatic argument. God's word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. End of discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's how you look at this whole Middle East issue. God says, don't divide the land. Doesn't matter what practical arguments are given. And that's what this two-state solution is doing. Donald Trump just being sort of the latest kind of rendition of it.
Right.
And by the way, when you enter into a deal with the inhabitants of the land, you have to understand that you're not dealing with rational parties on both sides. One party could be acting in good faith. The other party could be bound by something called taqiyya, which in Islam means you're allowed to lie. I'm not allowed to lie as a Christian. You're not allowed to lie. A Jew is not allowed to lie because of the Decalogue. Muslim is allowed to lie. So this is not art of the deal. This is not a real estate deal. This is not building a hotel. This is a spiritual issue where you're sitting down with people who are not both acting in good faith. They're not both rational actors. And part of the problem I'm seeing with this two-state solution is, we think the other side is approaching it through the same Western lens that we have. Mm-hmm. And they're not approaching it that way at all. They're seeing it through the lens of Islam, which commands them to go and eradicate the Jews and take control of Jerusalem again. None of these things are brought out in this peace plan mindset.
And reality is, they I guess they've already answered. They started sending rockets right after it was announced. They started sending rockets over to Israel. Yeah. So they pretty much have given their opinion on this, which if you
And Yasser Arafat was given a what, 95%, something like that, and he turned it down. So it shows you, again, the mindset that they want all of it.
They want all of it. And if you watch the TV show that Barry Nussbaum and I did on this, Barry went through the plan and started listing off all the infrastructure, the building they'll get, the state buildings, the criminal court system, everything they're going to get, the money they're going to get.
Well, there's going to be a tunnel.
Tunnel?
That connects Gaza to the West Bank.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Barry went into all of this. Barry didn't, I mean, I was sitting here hosting the show, and I don't remember him saying he liked it. I just remember him saying, this is what's in it. Can you believe this is what's in it? It's overwhelmingly generous. It's tons of money. And their response right after it was announced was to start sending rockets into Israel. And he'd just gotten a text from his daughter, who had run into a bunker because she is in Israel. And she's saying Abba, which means father in what, Hebrew? And so she's saying, Dad, or Father, I'm in the basement because they're sending off rockets into Israel. So the whole show with Barry Nussbaum was to say, well, here's what's in the plan, the infrastructure, the money, the buildings, the capital, and Jerusalem there they're going to get, and their response is to send rockets. So I don't remember him saying one way or the other what he thought about it, but what we're saying is, we're not for it. This is why. That's not my opinion. I'm just going on what the Bible says. Don't do this. It could bring judgment. Now, let's talk about, by the way, his website is andywoodsministries.org. It's been showing up under his name throughout the whole program, andywoodsministries.org. We're filming on Sunday night, the 2nd of February, while many of you are watching the Super Bowl. We're up here laboring and working. And
To me, this is a much more exciting Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Armageddon is much more exciting than a bunch of guys running around throwing a leather ball.
A bunch of overweight guys pushing each other over on painted grass, as a friend of mine says.
That's right.
But how is all of this setting up, as you say, a great battle? You want to talk about a great battle, not the Super Bowl battle, but as you said, the great battle. How is this setting that up? And as we start the show talking about plagues and pestilence, we got locusts in Africa. The pictures are amazing. We've got pictures on Drudge Report of people paying for things with their palm of their hand. We've got a plague known as the coronavirus that's got people worried. So we see the rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, apostasy within evangelicalism, big time. Mm-hmm. Not the main line, the mainstream evangelicalism apostatizing. Now you have interfaith dialogue, Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imams being invited into interfaith dialogue, and then those that do that are embraced by well-known Bible teachers and their staff saying Jesus was involved in interfaith dialogue. I mean, everything that's going on tells us the acceptance of Marxism by mainstream evangelicalism, as I wrote about in the book Marxianity. All of this tells us we are approaching the last days, right? Yeah.
Well, we want to be clear on one thing. Just because, and you mentioned all the things we appreciate about Trump, even there's some good things in this plan itself, but because we're critical of the plan, don't misunderstand us, because a straw man has been created by people. And what they're saying is if you're against the plan, you're swept into prophecy hysteria, and therefore you believe Trump is the Antichrist.
No, heavens no. Nobody's saying that.
And that this is the pact of that, of the Daniel 9, verse 27.
And we're not saying don't vote for him. That's up to you.
That's right.
But I mean, I certainly don't want to see Bernie Sanders be president.
Now, all things being equal, I will vote for Trump again, by the way. We don't think Trump is the Antichrist because we're still here.
Right.
The man of lawlessness can't come forward until the restrainer, the Holy Spirit through the church, to make a long story short, is removed. But what is happening here is setting the stage for that coming 70th week Daniel 9:27 treaty. Because let me tell you what's different about this one. It's getting the support now of a lot of Arab states, the Gulf states,
Saudi Arabia. I went through the list on the radio, the TV show the other day with Barry Nussbaum, and Barry listed off all the nations that are that are approving of this.
And the Hebrew.
I mean, aside from Iran and a few like that, there were a ton of Muslim nations were approving of it.
Yeah, and the Hebrew there. I'm in Daniel 9:27. Confirm a covenant. The Hebrew there calls for taking an existing covenant and intensifying it. That's basically what the Hebrew is speaking of.
So, in other words, this
could be setting the stage for that coming treaty.
So the language being used isn't that the Antichrist writes a whole new one.
Right.
It's that there's one already on the table,
right,
and he just comes and confirms it.
And even if this one falls through, even if it's dead on arrival, Donald Trump is not always going to be in the White House. Mm-hmm. Eventually, someone else is going to be in there. God help us if we get another Obama type back into the White House. But he could just reach into the file drawer and pull this thing out, since it had so much support in the Middle East, and offer it again. Mm-hmm. So that's why
It's kind of hard to see them offering something less.
That's right.
I mean, once you've offered all that, why wouldn't you offer more, you know? So you can't see them going with less, so why not take it out, add a few things to it, and confirm it? But you're saying the language in Hebrew is that the Antichrist, the one world leader that shows up, he doesn't write something new, he just
intensifies
it and then confirms it.
Intensifies something that's already in existence. So the reason we're talking about that is to help people understand.
This is helping to set the stage.
The prophetic significance of it, even though we don't think this is that treaty and Donald Trump is the Antichrist.
Right, he's not. But this treaty is helping to set the stage for the negotiations for whatever that final one that's added to and strengthened and confirmed.
You know, if the guys that taught me Bible prophecy, the old guys, many of them...
Were alive today?
If they were alive today, they would be screaming at the top of their lungs about what's going on. In our generation, you know, we're too busy with
other things. Be excited because they'd be saying, this is a huge deal.
This is huge.
From a prophetic standpoint.
Exactly.
From a fulfilling of Bible prophecy, this is really setting the stage.
Here's the way to think about
this. And then you add to the fact that you have Russia and Iran making a pact. You have China and Russia carrying out the largest military exercise in world history in the summer of 2018, Vostok 18, that we discuss in great detail in my documentary Siege at siegethemovie.com, where you can watch a whole hour for free, siegethemovie.com. Then a few weeks ago, you had Russia, Iran, and China having a military exercise. You have right now those same guys that you said would be excited right now if they were alive because of how this is a big deal prophetically. Add to the fact that they used to fight with each other in a nice way, argumentative way. They used to argue with, well, who is it that's going to invade Israel first? Yeah. You know, is it going to be Turkey? Is it going to be Syria? Is it going to be Russia? Is it going to be Iran? And now today, those guys are gone. They're on to glory. And today, who is in Syria 2 miles from the border of Israel? You have Syria, obviously, Iran, Russia, Turkey.
No, the big three.
The big three.
Yeah.
I mean, they would say, they couldn't believe this. And now you add this to it?
Yeah. It's
a big deal.
Well, it's stunning because going back to how we started the show, convergence. Mm-hmm. All of these things are coming together simultaneously. And folks, you say, well, how does this relate to daily life? Well, here's how it relates. If God has called you to witness to somebody, you better do it now. If God has called you to start a ministry, you better do it now. If God has called you to heal a broken relationship, you better do it now. Because I'm not a date setter, nor the son of a date setter. But from my own vantage point on it, I would be completely shocked if we lived out our natural lifespans. I completely expect my lifespan to be interrupted. And that's not a bad way to live, because it causes us to revolutionize our priorities in the present. I spend less time being stupid and selfish and petty, and more time invested into things that really matter, like the show we're doing tonight.
What's so ironic, though, is because part of Bible prophecy is that they will say, oh, where is the coming of the Lord? Where is the coming of the Lord?
Well, that's being fulfilled, too.
And that's being fulfilled, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because now what we're talking about right now is
will be ridiculed.
Is being ridiculed. Yeah. You know it's being ridiculed. There are people watching it right now that call themselves solid evangelical Christians that are ridiculing it.
Yeah.
In our next show that we're going to do together, I'm going to read from an email of a guy that who sent me an email. I won't use his name, but he sent me an email. He claims to have heard me speak somewhere, mm-hmm. and he names where, which was at a very conservative evangelical function, and he came in here to hear me speak and was, you know, he was positive about his time there. But now he's upset because I'm a Zionist, and he goes on to talk about Christian Zionism, and he goes on to talk about Christian Zionism is an oxymoron. He says you can't be a Christian and a Zionist both. You have to be one or the other. Satan is pretty good at dividing and conquering. I hope you're not like some of the other Christian Zionists who seem to have been getting support from Zionist Jews. I hope you're not being bought off. I think of Christian Zionism as similar to other heresies that have cropped up in the past, like Gnosticism. And he goes on to say, make fun of Schofield as a con man and his Bible being financed by the Zionist Jews. It appears to me this has taken place to divide and conquer the Christian community. Then he goes on to talk about the fact that today's Zionists are communists. Zionism today is communism. It has nothing to do with Mount Zion as Jerusalem. So this is a guy who claims to be a very conservative evangelical saying that I can't be a Christian and a Christian Zionist. Now, the point I'm making is this. That right there is a sign of Bible prophecy.
That's right.
Is it not?
That's exact. 2 Peter 3:3-4. You know, when people malign prophecy, they're actually fulfilling it.
Yeah.
Without even realizing it.
The anti-Semitism mm-hmm. that you're hearing? The mocking of prophecy?
Revelation 12, the mocking of prophecy, the apostasy of the church. Even, as you alluded to, some mainline prophecy ministries sort of putting a happy face on this peace plan, because here's the problem. They're more interested in seeing Trump win in an election year than they are in what God's mm-hmm. word says. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Trump win the next election. But I'm not so blinded
right.
by partisan loyalty that I am no longer...
You're not a partisan. You're a Christian.
Well, here's my loyalty. You ready? Number one is to the Bible, mm-hmm. the God of the Bible. Number two, it's to the United States Constitution. Number three, in this order, number three, it's to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And if Trump gets outside of the purview of God's word, I have to depart from Trump on that issue. I don't dump him completely.
Right.
But I have enough courage to speak up and say this is wrong. And I don't rewrite psychologists call this marginalizing.
Yes.
When you take someone's bad behavior and you lessen it. That's what a lot of these ministries are doing with this peace plan, by putting sort of a happy face
yeah.
on it and by acting like it's not such a big deal, because their partisan loyalties have usurped biblical loyalties.
Yes, we have loyalties. And on top of that, this is a TV show. I have a radio show. I have a TV show. I bring on experts and we share with you our thoughts, our opinions, our analysis, and we share with you our worldview that we've unapologetically told you comes through the lens of the Bible and Bible prophecy.
That's right.
So why would we all of a sudden change our worldview and our values because of who's in the White House?
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Right.
I mean, if you don't like the fact that we're trying to be consistent regardless of who's president, then don't watch. But at least you know when you watch us or listen to us on radio, you know we're going to tell you what we believe to be true through the lens of the Bible and through the lens of the Constitution. So it's not based on whoever's popular, are we going to invite it to the White House? And in fact, you know, a lot of we like about what Donald Trump's doing, but I don't have to agree with everything. No. I don't agree with all the religious freaks he's got around him.
No.
I mean, he's got a whole choir of religious freaks.
Well, some of the
Would you have any of those people in your church?
Some of the people he's got as his spiritual advisors need spiritual advisors.
They need spiritual advising.
Themselves.
And some of them actually are running within a framework of evangelicalism that thinks that the church is Israel.
Yeah.
So it's so funny that, you know, they're so big on Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump is putting up a plan here, and many of them, you know, are for it. But reality is, if you study who some of the religious leaders around him are, mm-hmm. they don't even believe in the real Israel. They believe the church is Israel.
Yeah.
So, again, what we're saying is there's a lot of inconsistencies. We're just pointing them out. Now, if this plan had the name of Barack Obama there on it, or Hillary Clinton,
that's the point.
What would these people be saying about this plan then?
Well,
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are dividing Israel. They're going to give the Palestinians a capital in Jerusalem? Is he crazy?
I'm old enough to remember, and you're old enough to remember, when Bill Clinton tried the same thing around the year 2000. And I remember these same sort of conservative biblical outlets screaming at the top of their lungs. And now we've got a guy that we voted for in the office, and he happens to be our party, and all of a sudden it's minimalized, marginalized, because we've got to get this guy through the next election. We need to figure out who we're serving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're here to serve the Lord. And politics and all of that stuff is nice, and it has a place, but it's gotten to a point where it's out of control.
Well, and if the Lord doesn't return 4 years from now, 8 years from now, we'll still be here talking. Why am I going to change my position on who's in the White House?
Right.
It really isn't going to have any factor on what we're saying. I mean, is anyone really talking that much about what Ronald Reagan did?
Does God ever change?
No.
Doesn't it say in Malachi 3, verse 6, I do not change? These principles that we articulate here on WVW are immutable, unchangeable principles from God's Word.
That's right.
It's not the kind of thing where you stick your finger in the wind and figure out what direction the wind is blowing. God's Word doesn't function that way.
That's right.
And it's interesting to watch these ministries, a lot of them, cave and fold on these
And they're also
subjects.
Trying to put more nickels and noses in the seat. Yeah. And right now it's big to be in the right camp politically, and that attracts more people to your conference and whatnot.
Yeah.
We don't play those games.
Yeah, and the people he's got advising him have connections to the NAR.
Yeah. The New Apostolic Reformation. I mean, they think they're prophets and apostles.
Bethel Church in Redding, California.
Yep.
That's
Glory
who's
Dust.
Got an inroad. By the way, that movie Unplanned that came out.
Mm-hmm.
A good movie on the pro-life issue. Did you notice? I don't know if you went and saw it.
I didn't.
But did you notice the influence of the NAR?
I read about it. I heard about
and
it.
And the pastor that they featured in it was the associate pastor at Bethel in Redding, California.
Which thinks they got glory dust and feathers falling out of the sky, and they believe in modern-day prophets and apostles.
Kingdom
and
Now, Seven Mountains Mandate.
Oh, their buddy Rick Joyner thinks he's taking trips to heaven, swimming with Jesus, and talking sports. I'm not kidding. We have it on video.
Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thank you for being for this
what
show.
A joy.
We're going to do more, and he's filming a bunch of shows on the comparison between the heresy of the neo-Calvinist and biblical Christianity. Start filming that tomorrow morning. Going to do a ton of shows. He's got 700 slides. Now, if you appreciate this broadcast and all the other shows we carry, again, we invite you to join the Situation Room. And if you join now at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate at wvwtv.com/subscription, I'm going to send you my book, Marxianity, and my documentary, 6 hours long, Sabotage, absolutely free, is my way of saying thank you for joining and supporting what we're doing so we can expand. We're launching a new website in March. Then we're going to rebuild our Roku channel and our app. We have to buy some new cameras, so we need some capital, and you need to be a member of the Situation Room. See how that works? We need some capital, and you need some membership to our Situation Room and all the shows we have. If you like this show, we have over 1,000 of them at situationroom.net. You join now, I'm going to send you my book, Marxianity, and my documentary, Sabotage. Absolutely free is my way of saying thank you. You can join at wvwtv.com/subscription, but you got to join at the year rate, 2 year rate, or 3 year rate for that offer. Also, don't forget about your tax deductible support at wvwfoundation.com. You can also send a check. You'll find our mailing address there and on the screen, wvwfoundation.com. It is tax deductible, and we are listener supported. Our time is up. That's what that means.
That's
so
right.
Get your support in. We sure appreciate it, and we look forward to being back with you. Our next show, Dr. Andy Woods and I are going to talk about Christian Zionism, the email I got. We're going to respond to that guy and see what the Bible has to say about that, because Israel is under attack, and it's largely coming from so-called evangelical Christians. Amazing. It's really sad. All right, till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care. Mm-hmm.